Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is the episode you've all been waiting for. It is the episode we've been waiting for. This is Unfeatured Articles, and it's the Tractor Special.
Woo! Yes!
Hello and welcome to Unfeatured Articles, ladies and gentlemen, the show where every week we dive into the internet and find all the wacky, funny, in-depth and weird things. Also, you don't have to.
Yes.
My name is Curtis Lang, and I'm joined, as I am by every week, my insufferable hosts, Mr. James Kehoe.
That's me.
And Riley McNamara.
Hello there.
How are you, boys?
Good. There is an energy in the room. Oh. We can all hear it because we know.
This has been what we've been wanting to do since we started the show, I think.
Oh, definitely.
This is why we came together.
Yeah, it feels so. Like the culmination of something.
We all met at a tractor convention.
We did.
We did. Yeah.
We did. That was back in the day. Oh my gosh. Oh, ages ago now. Yeah. And we've been back every year since.
It's true.
To the tractor convention.
We'll do a live episode there.
Can't wait.
Great.
We'll get the whole
Supernova
TNC crew.
Small potatoes compared to
the tractor convention every
Speaking
year.
Speaking of potatoes and farming and tractors,
yes.
What have you got for us, James, today?
Oh, fantastic. Well, I, of course, wanted to dive into... Well, we are on the Tractor and Construction Plant Wiki.
That's true.
We should set that up.
Obviously,
it's in my bookmarks.
Yeah.
I go every day. And one of my favorite articles, just to reminisce about and just to think about, is, of course, International Harvester. The International Harvester Company, now known as Navistar, as we all know.
Of course.
Yeah.
Fantastic stuff. They do.
They're great stuff.
They do good work.
Real good work. Some real like grassroots stuff.
Yeah.
If you don't mind me saying. And before they were Navistar, they were of course the International Harvester Company. Founded back in the 1830s. These guys go back.
Heritage.
Mm. It was Cyrus Hall McCormick. He was an inventor from Virginia.
You don't need to tell us.
Yeah, I don't need to go that far.
Yeah, exactly.
We all know. It's like, you know, I'm just saying stuff we've already known.
Yeah. I pray to him every night.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, don't mock him too hard.
I would never.
Yeah, it's true.
Now, how could I go in talking about the International Harvester Company without talking, of course,
about
the 60 series recall.
I wanted to join in. I was taking a sip.
No, you were drinking. You were
60 series recall.
60 series recall. Oh.
It was rough.
Boys,
I tell ya.
Tell you what, that was one of the recalls that really hit home for me.
It took a toll.
Yeah.
Mm. It took a toll. Of course, July 1958, International Harvester, they started a major campaign to introduce a new line of tractors that many dealers hoped would turn around slumping sales.
Yeah.
At the Hinsdale in Illinois testing farm, IH entertained over 12,000 dealers from over 25 countries. IH showed off their new 60 series of tractors, including the big, first of their kind, six-cylinder 460 and 560 tractors.
What a weapon.
What a weapon.
Jeez.
But, of course, as this article says, the joy of the new line of tractors was short-lived. One of the first events that would eventually lead to the downfall of IH presented itself in 1959. In June of that year, I'm sorry, I'm getting a bit teary.
Yeah. That's all right, mate. That's cool.
It's okay.
In June of that year, IH recalled the 460, 560, and 660 tractors. Final drive components had failed.
I remember it like it was yesterday.
Yeah. IH, who wanted to be the first big power manufacturer.
And they were so close.
They were just there, had failed to drastically update the final drives on the new six-cylinder tractors. These final drives were essentially unchanged from 1939 and would fail rapidly under the stress of the more powerful 60 series engines.
Fools.
IH's competitors, they took advantage of the recall and IH would lose customers in the ensuing months, with many customers moving to John Deere's new generation of power tractors introduced in 1960.
Fuck those guys.
I mean, look, we all... John Deere.
They were in it for the money, James. IH were in it for the passion.
Yeah.
But corporations once again got involved and they fucked it.
Look, I mean, you have to think of this from a business perspective. You have to think John Deere, Deere and Company, they saw an opening. They saw a point where they could rise above IH.
Yeah.
And they took advantage of that, you know? No. And I don't think...
I respect them as businessmen. I don't respect them as humans.
I know. And I think a lot of people steer the narrative. I think a lot of people kind of took this opportunity to sort of discredit IH and to say, you know, oh, look at them. They can't make good good tractors.
Which was just what research has shown us in and 2020 vision behind us has shown that, that's just not true.
No, I mean, and hindsight. They kept going into the 70s, into the 80s. In the late 1970s, IH entered a deal with Spain's Enasa to build diesel engines, I should say, if I can't. Yeah. I'm too flustered about talking about tractors.
It's all right. It's all, right.
All good.
It's hot stuff.
It is. It is just a lot. But, you know, I really, and not to bring the whole kind of mood of the episode down already, but I really, you know, I think how can we talk about tractors without talking about that recall,
We're going to talk about the lows.
No, exactly. A pivotal moment in tractor history. That's my article.
Absolutely.
Who wants to go next?
Riley, how about you, buddy?
Yeah, all right. Well, like James touched on, you touched on the drive change there. So I thought I would, I'd dig in a bit to the drive shafts and explain a bit to the people who may not know what they are.
Get down to an engineering level.
Yeah. So like the way that the tractors run with their drive shafts, they run on constant velocity joints. That's basically, it allows a drive shaft to transmit power through a variable angle at constant rotational speed without an appreciable increase in friction or play.
Yes.
And this is where... IH tended to go wrong.
Yeah.
Their engines, they were putting out more powerful engines. They had more torque. They had more energy going through, but the drive shafts just couldn't quite, wasn't up to the rigors of that.
Didn't have the joints.
No, that's it.
I always say. You'll see me on the forums, on the tractor forum.
I'm a
fiend on the forums.
Don't go up against James Key on the forums, ladies and gentlemen. You will get eviscerated.
Farmboy 97. That's
you.
Me.
That's you, baby.
I'm there. I'm talking about them joints. This is great stuff.
To start this off, let's go back to the original constant variable joints.
Oh my God. Yes.
So as front wheel drive systems became more popular with cars such as the BMC Mini, they used compact transverse engine layouts. These shortcomings of universal joints in front axles became more and more apparent. They just weren't working.
Just wasn't working.
So based on a design by...
Alfred Hage Respeza, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
Alfred Respeza, what a
legend
man.
In the field.
He filed for patent in 1927, a CV joint, the tractor joint, designed by Pierre Finale at Jean-Albert...
Gregoire.
That's it.
This tractor company was filed for patent in 1926.
My thesis was in uni.
Yes.
Oh yeah, nice.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. Constant velocity joints solved many of the problems.
Yeah.
They allowed a smooth transfer of power despite the wide range of angles through which they had to be bent.
That's right. Yeah. It was always the angles.
Yeah, that's it. So I wanted to tell you boys, so there's a lot of different like
types.
Constant velocity joints, there's a few different types. So there's the tractor joints. There's the
tractor, not tractor.
With an A.
Tractor. Yeah. From Jean-Albert Gregoire, maybe. So there's device joints. There's your tripod joints. There's your double cardan, your Thomas coupling, all of these ones. Mm. But I want to talk about the Respeza joints.
Oh, yes.
Because he was kind of the godfather of it all.
It's true.
So his joint, the Respeza joint, consists of spherical inner with six grooves in it and a similar enveloping outer shell.
Yep.
Each groove guides one ball. The input shaft fits the center of a large steel star-shaped gear that nests inside the circular cage. The cage is spherical but with ends open, and it typically has six openings around the perimeter. Now, this cage and gear fit into a grooved cup that is splintered and threaded splined and threaded shaft attached to it.
If it was splintered, it'd be a bloody different story.
Yeah,
Work. Six large steel balls sit inside the cup grooves and fit into the cage openings nestled in the grooves of the star gear. The output shaft on the cup then runs through the wheel bearing and is secured to the axle nut. The joint can accommodate the large changes of angle when the front wheels are turned by the steering system. And typically, Respeza joints allow 45 to 48 degrees of articulation, while some can give up to 54 degrees.
Wow. That's
so much.
That's crazy.
So 54. Much articulation.
At the Zeppa? Jeez.
Yeah, at the outboard end of the drive shaft, a slightly different unit is used.
Yeah.
The end of the drive shaft is splined.
Splined.
And fit into the outer joint. It's typically held in place by a circlip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a masterclass in engineering.
Oh, absolutely.
Like,
it's beautiful.
I think,
it's beautiful. It's art.
Yeah, it is. It is. And
take down the Mona Lisa, put up the Respeza joint.
That's for it to have been, you know, so consistent since, 26?
27 he filed for patent. But what? Yeah, 26 was his first, foray.
And for that to kind of endure, you know, and even though there are all these kind of different types of joints, like as you said, we all have our favorites.
Seven, right? Yeah.
You know, we all have our loves, our favorites.
I'm a bit of a wise joint man myself. I know it's controversial, but there's something simplistic about them that is just
don't
beautiful.
Say that too loudly.
If you say that on the internet, they'll hunt you down.
I'm a big fan of the double cardan.
Classic.
Yeah. Good joint.
You know. Curtis?
Absolutely. Let me just grab my article up, boys. Favorites. There we are.
Yes.
Okay. Here we are. All right, boys. So I'm going to talk about something that's very close to my heart.
Oh, yes.
We're going to talk today about continuously variable transmission. CVT.
Oh, got that CVT.
Oh. Absolutely. CVT. 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 All right,
dude,
boys. Let's
can
get
I be
into
honest
it.
With you? I was so close to doing CVTs.
Yeah.
I was just, I like the first thing that came to my mind, I was like, oh, I'm obviously going to do this, continuously variable
transmission. We could have just done a CVT episode,
oh,
to
we
be
could
honest.
Have gone way into
we
CVTs.
We could still do it.
It's true. Maybe we'll come back next week.
Dude, tell us, just go crazy on CVT. All right.
So a continuously variable transmission or
CVT
is a transmission that can change steplessly through an infinite number of effective gear ratios between maximum and minimum values.
Infinite.
It's insane. It's insane
crazy.
What these things can do.
Yeah.
The contrast with other mechanical transmissions that offer a mixed number of gear shafts. Mm. The flexibility of a CVT allows the driving shaft to maintain a constant angular velocity, right?
Yep.
So over a range of output velocities, and this can provide better fuel economy than other transmissions by enabling the engine to run at its most effective resolutions per minute, so RPM.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
For a range of vehicle speeds. Alternatively, of course, it can be used to maximize the performance of a vehicle by allowing the engine to turn at the RPM at which it produces peak power.
That's right.
Yeah? And this is typically higher than the RPM that achieves peak efficiency, right? Yeah. So
how cool is that?
It's insane. Yeah. It's absolute. There are some wonderful diagrams and GIFs of these parts working together. And,
they're going in the show notes.
Yeah,
they're
check them in the show notes.
In the show notes. Oh,
look. But we're gonna scroll down a little bit, and we're gonna go into some types.
Yep.
All right.
Great.
Let's do it.
Because of course, this you can't just have one type. All right. No. Everyone's got to have their own version of CVT.
Oh, exactly.
But they're all are excellent.
Yep.
Right. But we are going to talk about the magnetic CVT.
Ah,
all right.
Oh, good.
Two of my favorite things, tractors, magnets, baby.
Yeah.
So,
they go hand in hand.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yes.
A magnetic continuous variable transmission system has been developed at the University of Sheffield in 2006. So this is quite recent, right?
Yes, yep. Yeah.
And is now commercially available as of 2011.
That's right.
This has become one of the new standards of CVT, all right? It's magnificent.
Where were you when you first saw the commercially available magnetic CVT?
Oh, man. I think I just come out of seeing my favorite movie of all time. Back in 2006, when I first heard about it, come out and seen out of my favorite movie of all time, Spider-Man 3.
Ah, yes.
The Sam Raimi classic.
Of course.
And
2006, what a year.
Yeah, it was a good year. Good year for films. Mm. The two rotating transmission discs, each with magnets attached, synchronously revolve, right?
Yep.
A change in the radius of magnets on each of the discs causes a change in the transmission ratio.
That is music to my ears.
Oh, absolutely. It's
you
just
are
incredible.
Speaking my language.
Marvelous.
It's incredible. But that's all. I think I could go on forever, boys.
Oh, yeah.
I could, obviously.
And
but
there's
so
much here.
So much here.
You know?
But we really encourage, we know we say sometimes, if you want to go have a look at the articles, go have a look at these articles, people.
No, please.
This is just,
there's not a choice in this one.
Do
no, this
yourself.
Is, this is biblical in proportion.
Yeah. This is kind of, this is like education.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? Like they you need to teach this.
I know
stuff
we're usually a bit of a comedy podcast, but this episode We're talking about things that are close to our hearts.
Yeah, right? Yeah. And that's about it for this episode. I don't really have a game. How can we really?
We can't game this one.
It's you know.
We might.
I've had fun anyway.
Maybe we'll do a two-parter.
Maybe
we'll see.
I think we can really kind of.
We could gear some stuff out of this. Part of my pun.
I tell you what, season two. Why don't we just do tractors?
Maybe this will be it. Yeah,
do tractors.
Maybe we'll be unfeatured tractors.
Maybe that's a separate podcast. We'll have to kind of brainstorm. But till next time. Thank you so much for joining us. This was more or less, you know, our Christmas present to ourselves.
Yeah. Merry Christmas to one and to all, but mainly to us. Yeah.
For allowing ourselves to really indulge in our greatest love.
And take the time off at the end of this year of 2018 to indulge yourselves.
Yeah,
so go
do
read
it.
These articles, look up on your tractors. Maybe next year you can get some
take one for a test drive.
Chip in for a test drive or something. Ooh. No, yeah.
Well, that's about it from us. You can find us on Facebook, Unfeatured Articles, Instagram, Unfeatured Articles, and Twitter, Unfeatured Pod.
Yeah.
Our theme song is Bucatorian Friends. And till next time.
I've been Curtis Lang.
I've been Riley McNamara.
I've been James Keogh. And Brown's responsible.
Okay, so you find yourself in a rustic tavern. It's lit by a fire and a half and a grumpy-looking bartender.
And, I roll to crime.
What?
I roll to crime.
Oh, crime. I'm proficient. I assist.
Sweet. I roll to crime with advantage.
Okay, all right. What crime exactly are you committing?
To steal the hearts of everyone listening to us right now.
No, I take it back.
Law & Disorder is a 5th edition Dungeons & Dragons actual play podcast where the worst kind of people team up to rid the world of slightly more worse people. It's a whole thing. We're not the worst.
Follow us on iTunes or on your podcatcher of choice. Find us online at thatsnotcanonproductions.com or find Law & Disorder on Facebook and Twitter. And now, on with the game.
A That's Not Canon Productions podcast.
Your personal info, like addresses, phone numbers, and more, are collected and sold by data brokers. But Aura steps in, scanning the web, sending you alerts, and requesting your info be removed. Get Aura's full toolkit, including credit and transaction monitoring, a password manager, VPN, and more. Get a 14-day free trial at aura.com/safety. That's AURA.com/safety.